Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey, true believers, it's that time you've been waiting for. Gather around your iPod, radio, or whatever you're listening to, for Mitch and John are about to go into the Power Cosmic. Sit back and listen to comic books, toys, movies, and more with those two guys that've got nothing better to do but talk about the stuff that you love. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wake the neighbors, phone the kids. It's time for the Power Cosmic Podcast. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast, the only podcast fueled by the energy of Mr. Roy Thomas. I am your host, Mitchell A.S. Halleck, promoter, producer, and creator of the world's greatest Comic-Con happening at the Mohegan Sun this August 18th to the 20th right here in Connecticut. It is called Terrific Con. And speaking of terrific guys, I'm going to talk right now about the co-host of this show, the man who puts the were in power cosmic. He is the man who proprietors the Rain and Flea Market, booth A89-90, every Sunday, where you can find comic books, toys, and anything that you want. He is the man who writes articles for Back Issue Magazine, the Alter Ego, and the Jack Kirby Collector. He is the man who just came back from a whirlwind weekend with Mr. Rascally Roy Thomas, and he's here to tell us all about it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for our friend and yours, Mr. John Cimino.
What's going on, everybody?
All right, John. I told you I didn't want to hear about it until you and I talked, and we're going to do it live right here on the show. What happened this weekend, as I like to call it, a weekend at Roy's?
Yeah. Well, on the farm, at the house, whatever. And then people come and they, like, you know, they have a ton of comics. They usually work for comic stores or sometimes CGC or CBCS or whatever, and they have like a witness there, and they bring like a certain number of comics. We go into some room and Roy signs autographs on all these books. We collect the check, cash, and we go hang out for the day. That's basically what it is. It's fun. I actually didn't stay over Roy's this time because I got in really late on Saturday night, so they put me up in a hotel. Roy asked to come get me, but I said, no, I'm just going to stay here and crash. And so I stayed overnight, then Roy came in the morning, picked me. We waited there for the people to show up, and then we signed some comics and took off and hung out for the day. So that was basically what we did.
Yeah, but you're missing a point. You went to see a certain movie with Mr. Roy Thomas, did you not?
Yeah, well, we want to get into detail after hanging out. Yeah, me and Roy, well, before we did this, like, me and Roy don't really get to hang out much, just as, like, we talk every single day, write every single day, but when we go to conventions, obviously, we have business to take care of. But this was the first time me and Roy got to hang out. And first off, let me say this. Roy Thomas is the worst and craziest driver ever. He's talking to me on the road. And I even asked him, I'm like, Roy, how'd you get here? He goes, oh, I drove. And I said, oh, go into his car. And he has a special license plate, too. That's one of his comics. I don't remember what the name of it. Zoo Crew or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that was Captain Carrot and the Zoo Crew created in the 80s.
And it's so old. He said he won, and I'm like, Roy, you better off getting it. He goes, get a new license plate. And he goes, I want to see, I've had the same license plate for over 20 years. And he goes, I want to see how long we can keep it before we get pulled over. It's so old. It's like black. It's hilarious. But so he gets into the car, and I'm like, Roy, you want me to drive? And I knew when he was backing out of the parking lot, I was like, wait, Roy, you want me to drive? He's like, no. And while he's backing up, he's talking to me. And I'm not listening to a word he's saying because I'm looking. I'm like, holy shit, this guy's going to kill us. And he starts backing up, stopping, backing up. I'm like, Roy, don't worry. I can take the wheel. You just tell me where to go. No. He flies out of the freaking drive, like the parking lot. He doesn't even look both ways. Just goes. And he's talking to me. And I'm like, then he like, goes fast and goes slow. Go fast and go slow. And then he's like, oh, yeah, this is the exit. We got to go here. And he just crosses over the lanes and goes. thank God South Carolina doesn't have a lot of traffic, because he wouldn't survive a day in friggin' Boston or friggin' Massachusetts, because he is so oblivious to everything else that I don't know how he even survived this long. And I asked him, when you go to the airport and you come back, does your wife drive? He goes, no, she doesn't like to drive. I drive. And I'm like, I don't know how they live that long. Mitch, it was so funny, but it was so goddamn scary, because I'm holding onto the seat, and I'm usually pretty reckless, and I don't get scared of a lot of things. I was scared shitless, so that was the first adventure in itself.
Well, there you go. Now, a little tip to our listeners out there, if Roy Thomas offers you a ride, don't get in that car.
I'm telling you, I think the keys should start coming over. I don't know if you remember what happened to Jack Kirby, because sometimes those eccentric fellows that, like, I guess toward the end of his life, I remember documenting, they said, like, he was pulling into the driveway, and he kind of went up onto, like, the lawn or something. He almost hit the telephone pole, and I remember his son saying, like, it was time to take away the keys from Jack. And I think, like, that time has passed on Roy, because those keys got to be taken away. Hilarious. Okay, but after that, before we went to, Roy set up the day. He wanted to, he picked a certain date, the time to go see the movie, because he wanted to hang out. And he wanted to take me, he took me into some plaza where he took me to a few comic book stores. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. You talk about a fanboy's dream. Just hanging out at a comic book store, going into a comic book store, were really pretty fucking cool. You know, like, I never thought I'd do that in my life without Mitch. We go into comic book stores, and, you know, I feel a little bit giddy because I'm with Mitchell A. Halleck and, you know, the Terrific Con mascot. But this was a little different. So we go in there, and sure enough, you know, he's recognized and stuff. But, you know, people are pretty polite. But I just love looking on the shelf of, like, stuff, and Roy will pick out and we'll talk and, like, you know, just like how we do it, you know, like, and he's... To anyone listening, Roy is truly a fanboy. Like, he's like me and Mitch. He's like me and you, going to these things and just talking about everything. And I'll pick out a comic, and he'd be like, oh, I remember this comic. Or, like, you know, did you ever like this one, this story? That was cool. But we actually went into one. I don't want to mention any names, but we went into one comic book store. They didn't even have... This is how weird it is in South Carolina. Obviously, South Carolina is kind of like, you know, it's down in the deep south, so I don't know how much real reading is actually going on down there. But they don't even, there's a lot of comics and toys, but they don't have new arrivals. And I even asked him, I was like, what's the new stuff on the shelf? He goes, oh, no, we don't do that. We just have comics here. And I was like, oh. So, okay, it looked like a comic book store had comics and toys and all that, but they just don't get new comics or anything.
Now, there's a shop up in Massachusetts I found not too far away from Harrison's Comics in Beverly, Massachusetts, where it was the same thing. It looked like a comic shop until you started realizing there wasn't any new issues hanging up anywhere.
Yeah, but, okay, but that's rare. And then plus, maybe it looks, did it look like a comic book shop? Did it have
It had toys, it had back issues, it had posters and T-shirts, but nothing new, no new issues.
Okay, so, yeah, so that was weird in itself, and I was just kind of, okay. And they had a lot of toys on the top shelf. This guy has the Attorney of Playset, which is pretty valuable, and I have one for sale at the Saturday Morning Collectibles, currently right now. But they had another one, and I asked him, how much is for that attorney? It was open and stuff on the box, and he said to me, oh, it's not for sale. And I said, well, why is it with all the other toys? And he goes, oh, it's just decoration. And I'm like... That's freaking kind
of
weird.
No, I've been to, let me tell you, over the last month and a half or so, I've been driving to every comic book shop in, I don't know, New England, the Northeast, and sometimes I come across some that you sit there and you scratch your head and you wonder how they even pay the rent every month. And and I talk to other owners and I said a lot of these guys just do this as a hobby because they have so much collector items at their house and comics that they just, it's cheaper to just open a storefront and really not even sell anything, just to put all your collection out there. So it's really, really weird.
Yeah, it's weird. Okay, so we go to another comic book store, and this is a weird thing that happened. Obviously, they didn't have new comics that came in there, too, and it was the same thing, and I thought that was friggin' weird. But the guy comes up to, the guy, the owner of the shop comes up to Roy, And he says, they're just talking, introduces himself, all this stuff. Roy said he hasn't been to any of these comic book stores in like 20 years. You know, he doesn't really venture much out. But this is a weird thing that happened. He said, he asked, I don't want to say the guy's name, but he said a guy said that he worked, Roy Thomas has been slamming the industry. And that Roy is like a pariah or something in the place. And he said he went to a few of Roy's Halloween parties. Now, every October, Roy throws this huge October party. I'm much of a trip, you know? But he throws these huge parties because he's a big Halloween buff. But the guy said that he was there at one of Roy's parties. And he said that Roy was trying to scam people. It was just some weird freaking thing some guy was saying. And Roy didn't even know who the guy was, and Roy said he never came to my party and all that stuff, but he was also trying to sell fake art and stuff, and the guy who ran the store knew it was fake art and stuff, but he had to ask Roy if all this stuff was true. But what it turned out to be was some lunatic guy that goes around all down south, and he's trying to sell fake art and throwing name-dropping people because Roy's in that area. And there's a couple of other creators in that area, too, that he said that he knows about. He said he knows them and that they're bad and all this other stuff. But that was kind of weird in itself. And, well, Roy cleared that up, and he said that Neil Adams goes down to, he talked with Neil Adams at Roy's party. And
that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, that's exactly what Roy said. He goes, well, Neil Adams has never been to one of my parties. And I said to the guy, I was like, that exactly what you just said. I said, that would never happen.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's a blatant lie. Neil and Roy aren't on the most perfect of terms. But, just word to the wise, somebody down south is going nuts trying to sell bad art and all this stuff, and he's name-dropping, like, these stars. Whatever, these creators just maybe show importance to himself, but I guess he whipped off a few stores down in Kentucky and Kansas and all that stuff. So, and the guy had to ask Roy about that, and he said he knew that stuff wasn't real. So there's a lot of fake art going around down there, and so I don't know. I don't know if anyone's going to buy anything down there, but watch out.
All right. So, but what happened when you went to see Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
Okay, that was great in itself. Now, first off, people have to understand, Roy is a popcorn addict. Like, he loves to get like, the buckets of popcorn and the free refills, and he will eat the whole thing.
By himself.
We had to go early, so he got the bucket, and he could eat it before we could go into the theater, because before we go into the theater, he likes to fill up the bucket again, because he likes to watch the entire movie.
Okay, that bucket is probably like 30 cheeseburgers and calories and fat.
I said, Jesus, Roy. He goes, well, yeah, my wife makes popcorn there at the house, but it's always that healthy popcorn. And he goes, and when I try to put a little salt on it or anything like that, he goes, it never works because it never stays on. So he, while we're talking outside of the theater, like, you know, people are coming and we're sitting down and he's eating the popcorn. He's barreling through this popcorn, Mitch. And then before the movie starts, we go and he fills it up again. I go, there, you're going to fill it up? He goes, hell yeah! He fills the thing up again. And I think he had more fun eating the popcorn than the actual movie. But, and he's like, John, you want anything? You want some? I'm like, no, let me do it. But I took a picture, if anyone saw on the Roy Thomas boards or on my Facebook page, I took a picture of Roy with the bucket, but he was eating it, like, he wasn't grabbing it with his hands, he was eating it mouth first, and I asked him, Roy, can I take a picture of you please eating it like you're doing, and he goes, no, you can't, he goes, that makes me look bad, I was like, please, he wouldn't let me do it, so I, you know, like, chomp into it, Mitch, the guy is a popcorn addict. I didn't know anybody ate that much popcorn. And I was kind of watching him. Okay, so when we went into the movie, we watched all the trailers. Now, as a fanboy, I'm going to tell you, I already saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2 four times. So my whole watching the movie was watching Roy. I wanted to see his reactions. I mean, you know, everybody oblivious to who around us that this is the friggin' guy that created half these friggin' things. And it's just like, so I'm watching him, And he laughed at a lot of things. He liked the Wonder Woman. He laughed at, he thought Thor Ragnarok looks really, really good. And he laughed at when Thor goes, he's a friend from work, you know, like he really laughed at that. And he liked how it looked, and he thought Spider-Man looked really, really good too. So like I said, I'm watching Roy eat like a fiend, eat that popcorn like a fiend, and watching this stuff, and watching what he laughs at or what he didn't laugh at. Okay, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 comes up. I told him it's my favorite movie because it's the most fun movie, you know? And he loved Civil War and all that. And, you know, he doesn't really go to the movies much because his wife doesn't really care about the stuff. She went to a few with him, and if he goes, you know, obviously it's a popcorn delight. But, okay, he's watching it, and I'm watching at the things he does. He laughed a lot. He liked the little of the... I guess he researches a lot of the stuff because he knew the... Charlie, you know, the original Guardians were going to be in there and what they were going to do with that. And so that was fun to know. He was privy to a lot of that stuff. And so when that all came up, he loved the Stan Lee parts. He loved that. And I have to admit, I get a little touchy-feely when... I don't know if the last time we went to the theater together, but Keith Gleason, who runs Plastic City Comic Con, will attest to this. That when things come that I like, I kind of hit people, I jump on people, I fight people, I get crazy. But I kept myself in check with Roy. But I have to admit, when they show the cocoon, and the lady goes, "I'll call him Adam." I did jump on Roy. I grabbed him and I pinched him, and he goes, "Oh!" like that. And he started laughing too. But I could not help it because that was such an opportunity for me. Now, Mitch, come on, let's be honest. I know you go to the movies a lot with Mr. Ordway and stuff, Jerry and stuff, but it's like me going to the theater with Stan Lee and, like, looking at, like, this guy created some of that world, or, like, regardless, that universe. It just was surreal to me. And when it said that, I got so excited, and I jumped on him, and I pinched him. I pinched him all over. I couldn't help it. I go, "Why?" And that was fun, and he was laughing, and so... He gave it a thumbs up, and he also said that he wasn't too crazy about the baby Gru. But I said, "Yeah, but you know, it was for kids." And I remember him saying, "You think?" And so he knew it was geared for. He said this: it was a great movie. It was so entertaining. But he's not into the cosmic stuff. He's more into the more super urban superhero stuff. That's why he loved Civil War. He's more of a, you know, obviously if you see Luke Cage. Like Iron Fist, they're more street level guys. Wolverine, they're street level. They're not cosmic guys. You know, Conan. It's all to do with the Earth. So that was it. He loved seeing the Watchers. He thought that was really cool, and he loved how he could tell that James Gunn was a comic fan, and that he had like the right mind for putting in those things and stuff. So he definitely gave it a thumbs up. So that was cool.
And then what happened?
Okay, and then what happened? Me and Roy sat on a bench and we talked. Like, we just hung out and talked. And he kept offering me food, but I didn't want to waste time with food. I wanted to hang out with Roy because I knew I had to catch a plane later that night. So the next thing that we did is he took me to the airport and we parked. And we literally talked for two and a half hours, and we talked about our future and the things that we're going to be doing within the next couple of years. I tell people this. Now, everybody, if any other promoters are listening and all that, Roy's time is now in the next few years because his characters are starting to come into prominence. Obviously, we know Wolverine, but a lot of his other characters. And I said, and as he knows this too, I mean, he's doing pretty well financially. He's finally getting his royalties, all that stuff's going on. You know, Disney's been pretty gracious to him and stuff, and that's good, and he's deserving of it. But obviously his price tag is going to go up, and he's getting a lot of offers and stuff. I get a lot of offers for him and stuff, but he doesn't really need to do many shows anymore. So I'm just telling people out there now, if you're going to have Roy Thomas at a show, contact me, johnstretch@live.com, and we'll talk business. But I'm going to be honest with you. Like, it's not going to be easy to get him there because he does not need the money. And I've already been getting, just this week alone, what did I get back from Roy on Sunday morning, I've already gotten two emails from conventions that want him. And so obviously we know Mitch at Terrificon. He's always going to be there. Mitch, you're one of my dear friends. We're always going to treat Mitch with, we're going to give him the bargain basement prices because we love you and stuff. But to the other shows out there, just understand Roy's demand is higher now, and his price tag is going to be a little higher, and, you know, he should be deserved as such. He should be treated as such, because he's the prince. He's the prince. So we talked, and I got to admit, that was really cool. And, okay, one thing I had to do for my daughter, a thing that happened that was, he loved this drawing my daughter did. And he told me about it, like, I showed him pictures of it before, and he said it was beautiful, and he loved it, and stuff. So, I told my daughter that, and as a gift, my daughter wrote, gave him the art, and he signed, and she signed it to Roy and Dan Thomas, that, and he was so, he really liked that, I said, I got a present for you and Dan, so when I showed it to him, he was, like, he said, like, oh, that's so awesome. He called her up on the phone. He wanted to call her, and he said to her, he said that she has unbelievable talent. Mitch, when you tell me my daughter's a good drawer, yeah, thanks, Mitch, thank you. But when Roy Thomas says this about my daughter, it kind of gets me a little emotional because he actually called her.
Well, let me interrupt. I would say she's a good artist, not a good drawer. A drawer is something I put my socks and underwear in.
Okay. Thank you, Mitch. Thank you. But he called her up, and he said to her, I thank you so much for this. He goes, I'm going to put it in a frame, and we're going to put it above my desk where I write. And that, you know, me, while he's talking to her, and I got a little emotional because it just made all my hard work and everything I've been trying to achieve in this life. I get a little emotional now thinking about it, and I'm like, I'm in Roy Thomas's car. And he's calling my daughter. It just validated everything I am as a parent. And you know, Mitch, we both know I'm kind of out of my mind. You are too, but you're a little more professional. I'm not. And you know, it's kind of hard to deal with Mr. Cimino sometimes because I'm just, I get crazy. I get it. But I try my best as a parent, and which I know you do too. And we do the best we can and do all the hard work. But just actually seeing him talk to her, and he actually says this, if you keep that up, I'm going to hire you in the future, and I want you to work for me. And I was kind of like, oh my, like, I don't know. I get emotional because it was surreal. It was like I was giving my daughter an opportunity through all the hard work that I do. And and she said, oh, thank you, in her little baby voice and stuff. And I don't even know if she really knew how much that meant or what that meant, but it meant a lot to me. And I said, yeah, and he said, and then we talked a little more. We talked a lot about private stuff that, you know, I can't really talk about, but I'll tell you this right now. When he said this to me, he goes, John, you represent me, and he said, you're not an agent, you're my friend. And I was kind of like, yeah, that was huge. I mean, I really love that I have his trust of this family, like him and his wife, and he lets me into the inner sanctum of his life and of his house, and you know, it's just awesome. I feel that great. And then I know some people say, you know, maybe I'm a little too pro Roy Thomas, but, you know, Roy's my friend now. But second of all, I'm such a fan that I never thought I could get to the top of the mountain here. And I'm enjoying it. So I don't give a shit what anybody has to say. And you know what else Roy did for me? He sent me so much product to my store at the flea market. Like, all these books, like the All-Star Companions, all these alter ego books, the $30, $40 books, he sent me so many of them. The best of alter ego books, all that stuff. I kept a few, like his Stan Lee book, his John Romita book, he does all these books on the artist companions and all that. He sent me so much product for my store. He said, John, I want to give you all this stuff so you can sell it at Saturday Morning Collectibles. And I'm like, he didn't have to do that. He mailed it all out to me. And it's awesome, man. I mean, hey, man, I'm happy. And then, like I said, I'm living a dream life. Mitch, you know, look what we do. Me and you are such fanboys, and we talked about this. We also talked this with Keith. It's like, we've actually created our life around our dreams. You know, hey, I used to dig ditches. I worked for plumbing. You know, I did all the horrible work out there. I did wash dishes. I was a teacher. I did all this crap. All I ever wanted to do was get out of that and be here, be around in the industry. Case in point, in Chicago, I was talking with Dan. I talked to Dan, Roy's wife, for a long time, and she goes, why do you do this, John? Why are you always, like, you and Roy, you love to be with Roy and do all this stuff? She goes, do you like doing this? I go, Dan, you don't understand. I'm just so happy to be here. I've worked my entire life just to be here. And she doesn't see it. She's just like, she doesn't really care about the comics and all that stuff. You know, she knows what Ray does. But, you know, she lived in this stuff, so it's not a big deal to her. For me, it's like, I told her, I'm just so happy to be here. And I would travel to the end of the earth just to be in this industry. So I love, you know, talking, living, selling, buying, all this stuff, because this is what I've been made to do. And so hanging out with Ray this weekend was one of the greatest weekends of my life, because it validated everything I was trying to do in life, from him talking to my daughter, just hanging out with Roy friggin' playing with me and, like, friggin' joking around, me and him laughing, talking about everything from Stan Lee to Irvin Furbish. Irvin Furbish, like, all that stuff. And I'll tell you something about Roy. One more thing is that everybody sees Roy and he's got kind of this, like, he's like has a calm demeanor about him, but he is far from that. He is a friggin', he's like us. Like, he's crazy. Like, he has fun in the things he says, and I'm like, Roy, believe it or not, me and Roy have a lot of parallels. We're a lot alike. And I said, Roy, you're just as crazy as me. I go, but I show it more. You don't show it that much. He goes, oh, I can be crazy. But he really does have this other side. And it's unbelievable, but we're both big fucking kids. Excuse me for swearing, but we're both just big, big kids. Like me and you, Mitch. Me and you.
Well, there you go. I got to tell you, this has been an amazing phone call to be on, because I've heard so much about your weekend with Roy. I was following you on Facebook, seeing little updates here and there. And it was interesting, but...
Mitch, let me just say this. Yeah. We were going to go live. We were going to go live. I like to do... See, I just... Anybody out there, for the Roy Thomas Appreciation Boards, I try to make it different than any of the other, like, appreciation boards of other creators. Yeah, I like when people put up pictures of them and Roy and all the stuff that he does, but I want to make it interactive. And I told Roy this, too, one of our discussions for the future. It's like, I want him to send me... like, updates, things that he's doing, whatever he's thinking, you know, could be political or, you know, whatever, like, you know, whatever's going on, anything. I said, put it, and I'll put it up there. Send it to me. I go, because people want to know. I said, you can talk about a new, you know, and he was cutting trees down in his backyard or his llamas or anything. And I said, I want to do a lot of those live things, because I want it to be a board where it's very interactive, where people can ask him questions and he will answer, and they'll see what he's doing currently. But like I asked him, I said, should we go live? But we were having such a good time talking about what we need to do for our future and stuff together that I didn't have really time for that, because like I said, we talked for 2 hours and then I had to catch a plane. And so, but that's the difference about the Roy Thomas Appreciation Board. So if anybody hasn't joined, join, because I'm bringing Roy to the stars. To the stars!
All right. Well, before you blast off, what is Roy's next appearance for fans who are listening to this show can go see him?
Okay, his next appearance is going to be at the Heroes Con, the one that's in Charlotte. But he only does Saturday, and he only does it for a few hours. Because it's just down the street from him. I won't be with him at that show, but because it's not even worth it. He's going to be there, and then he signs a few things, and then he leaves. He just usually does it as a favor. I don't know who. He told me the name of the promoter. I can't think of his name right now. And then the one he'll be in after that, he'll be in Indianapolis. He's going to be doing that show. And unfortunately, I couldn't go with him to... I can't go with him to that show either, because I was busy. I have stuff to do. Because he even asked me. He's like, John, why aren't you going? And I... so second. And then after that, where are we going, Mitch?
I don't know. The most terrific Comic-Con in the Northeast, that would be Terrific-Con, happening at the Mohegan Sun Convention Center August 18th to the 20th. Ask for it by name, kids. Accept no substitutes. There's a lot of Comic-Cons out there, but there's only one terrific one.
And I have to admit, Larry, we even talked about, he has a lot. We love your show, and he always has a great time at your show.
That's right, he does. And
he did ask me about you, Mitch. He goes, what is it with you and Mitch? And I go, that's exactly what I said. Because we talked about Terrific-Con, and he's like, yeah, what is it with you and Mitch? I go, I've known Mitch, we met him at Diner with Matt Herring.
That's right.
And he became our favorite character. Remember that, Mitch? And
yes,
we said it, and we all screamed,
the Wendigo.
What? Yeah.
You kept calling me the Wendigo.
Yeah, but we were screaming at the Diner, we were all
Yeah. I remember.
Yeah, and I said that, and I told him, like, you know, and we talked about, like, how we met, and I talked about how, like, you know, we're good friends, and how we talk comics all the time, and, like, you know, and how we achieve this stuff, and he just thought it was great. He goes, I just always wanted to know. And I think what made me call you the Wendigo, Mitch, was your hair, because you have that white, shaggy hair.
I do.
So, I got to admit, a beautiful full head of hair.
Thank you very much, John.
Yeah, that was right, like the Wendigo. It reminds me of that Monsters Unleashed cover. Was it number 10 or 13? Which one?
Is it number 9, the one I just picked up?
Yeah, the one you just picked up. Your hair reminds me of the hair that was painted on the Wendigo there.
Yes, I do have a nice coif. I don't know, man. I don't want to talk about my hair for the next half hour, because for all the listener who's still out there, I think this has been a half hour of enlightenment about Mr. Roy Rascally Roy Thomas and Mr. John Saturday Morning Collectible Cimino. What more do you need to say, John?
Well, you know what? Like I said, it was a great experience, and, you know, I can't wait for Terrific-Con, because we can all hang out, and hopefully this time we can go to dinner. And Mitch, and remember last time I saw you at Terrific-Con, and I saw you talking to your staff?
Yes. Yep. I know.
And it's so funny. And I was like, what is this guy doing? It's hilarious. But I had a good time.
Yes. All right. Well, John, it's been 30 minutes, and it's time to wrap this episode up. So what do we normally say?
And that's that.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.